This morning, let's talk about precious commodities. And when I say that, I don't mean silver or gold or platinum. I know nothing about such things, but I'm talking about the precious commodity that Jesus mentions in his parable that we began looking at last Sunday and are continuing to look at for the next couple of weeks. How Jesus said, do we have that verse? Now, after a long what? Time. Let's talk about that precious commodity. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with him. How many of you would agree that time is at least one, if not the most important commodity that we are given here upon the earth? How many believe that? It's a rare, rare commodity. Time is one of those rare things that the more you have, the less it's worth. But the less you have, the more it's worth. Isn't it strange how time works? That's not like it is with a lot of other things. You know, we could open up your wallets, and the more you have, the more it's worth. And the less you have, the less it's worth. Until finally you get an empty wallet, and it's not worth anything. Well, for ladies, some of your purses are worth more, whether they have money in them or not. But for us guys, anyhow, time is a very rare commodity when you think about it. The more you have, the less you value it. But the less you have, oh my goodness, the more you value it. Hebrews 9:27 goes as far as to say, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, what? The judgment. Some people find themselves at the end of life with so little time left that they will give everything they own just for a little more what? Time. That kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Time is a precious, precious commodity. It was the most precious commodity, I believe, that the three servants in Jesus' parable were given as well. I know the translation that Avriel used, that was a great translation, bags of gold. They're given bags of gold. And those were precious commodities, I suppose, but not the most precious thing that their master gave them. Not the five great big bags of gold that the first servant was entrusted with, and not the two great big bags of gold that the second servant was entrusted with, or even the one great big bag of gold that the third servant was entrusted with. Those weren't the most precious commodities that were given to those three servants. In fact, those things weren't even given to those three servants. They were entrusted to them. As we learned last week, none of that gold was theirs. Who did the gold belong to? It was the master. They were entrusted with managing that which belonged to someone else. Remember last week? That was the message. What we've been given isn't given to us to own. It's been given to us to steward. It's been given to us to manage. At the end of Jesus' parable, each servant will be called into account as to how they managed their master's money while the master was away. It's not their money. It never was their money. It always was the master's money. The only commodity that each servant could rightly call his own was the time that each servant was given to prove his or her faithfulness in managing the master's money. And the first servant put his time to good use, didn't he? Jesus said he who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. How many of you who, like me, lost money in the stock market this last week would like to have had a financial guy or gal that, instead of losing our money, returned 100% interest on our money last week? How many would you rather? I'd rather gain the money than lose the money? Sure. He doubled the money. He doubled the money. No wonder when the master returned and he called his servants into account, he who had received the five talents came forward bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents here. And the Greek word there is iddo, and iddo actually means beyond. behold, lo, look, see, five more. I mean, this servant is not only surprising his master, he's just surprised himself. You gave me five, and look, five more. Just the second servant is proud that he's made two more. They're both happy campers. They've made such a good return for their Lord. And the master of both servants says, well done. Excellent. Wow. Max Lucado, in one of his books, calls it the applause of heaven, that there'll be some servants that will come to the Lord God, the Father in heaven, and when the Father sees them coming, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Some people are going to put that kind of a smile on God's face. And the master says that to both the servants because of the way both of those servants put in their time, the most precious commodity that their master had given them. They spent it well. What did they do? The Bible says they went at once and they traded, verse 16 says, with what the master had given him. The Greek word is ergon, from which we get our word ergonomatics, the study of making people's work more productive. And how did the first two servants make their work more productive? They went at once and they put their master's resources to work. And they doubled their master's investment in their lives. Whereas the third servant's strategy was a little different. The servant was given the exact same amount of time that the first two servants were given. The third servant just chose to use his time differently. Same amount of time as everyone in this room at this moment is being given the same amount of time. This Greek word for time is chronos. There's other Greek words that mean other things, but chronos means the ticking of the clock. In fact, many of us are wearing chronographs on our wrists this morning. It's seconds that are ticking by. We've all got these next 10 seconds in front of us, every one of us in this room. Now it's 8 seconds. All right, now it's 6. Now it's 4. Now it's 2. And now it's gone. That's chronos. Everyone has the same amount of time as we live it. Now, some might say, well, no, you get to live 80 years. I got to live 60 years. But inside those years, the seconds were ticking exactly the same for you as they were for me. There are 60 seconds in everyone's minute. In fact, when you think about this for a moment, every preacher does. But as we look over the crowd, we're going to be in here for an hour, and we're going to be listening to a sermon for 25 minutes. What are you going to do in those 25 minutes? You mean you can check your phone. You can go through text messages. You can daydream about what you're going to eat. I'm sorry to bring the subject up because some of you are already out there. All right? But others of you, you're saying, no, I've got 25 minutes. I'm going to put the best use to this time as I can. Everybody's got the same 25 minutes. It's no different. This third servant was given the exact same amount of time, chronos time. The master was away a long time, and then he returns. He calls his servants to account. But this third servant decided to spend his time differently than the first two servants. That's the difference in the three servants. This third servant decided to take the master's money, dig a hole in the ground, and bury his master's resources, for which the master was not very happy. At the very least, the angry master says, you should have invested my money with the banker. Coming, I would have received what was my own, at least with interest. Now I didn't check this out, but I heard you could get 2.25% interest on a 7-month CD last week. It changes from week to week. I didn't check that out. I heard that bantered around in a certain discussion. 2.25% interest in letting you have your money for seven months. Now, that's not much, considering that the Social Security Administration has figured a 2.8% cost of living adjustment for Social Security recipients next year, just to cover the cost of inflation. 2.25 isn't even going to keep up with inflation. However, it's more than what the master got from his third servant after being away for such a long time, because all he got from his third servant was what? The exact same amount he'd given him. He got no percent of interest. He got the exact amount the third servant was originally given returned to him. By the way, if anyone would like a financial guy that could get you that return, I'll be the guy. You give me your money, and you let me hold on to it. And then when you come back after a long time, I will give back to you the same amount that you gave me. All right? I know people that play this game with the IRS. I never understood why people do this. But they have they overpay their taxes so that at the end of the year, they'll get a what? A refund. They'll get a refund. Listen, skip the IRS. Just give it to me. Okay, just give it to me. And then at the end of the year when you want to take your vacation, I'll give you your refund, okay? That's what this master is so upset about. This third servant buried what he was given in the ground, and he gives back the same amount in which he was originally given. After all the time that he'd been given, he was only able to return to his master the exact same amount in which he was given. That is a, how big of a return? That is a 0% return. That's a zero. It's all the third servant had to show for such a long time. That's what I want us to give some serious thought to here this morning. How when it comes to what we're calling trading up or digging down, that's what the different servants did. Two of them traded up, one dug down. When it comes to trading up or digging down, both those things take time. One of them may take more time than the other, granted, but one is rewarded far more than the other as well. One brings a smile to the master's face and an applause and a wow, excellent, well done, come in. You were so faithful with this little, I'm going to put you in charge of much. Come and enjoy my happiness. What a reward those are given. I want us to give that some serious, serious thought. Then, let's choose what we do with our time with that kind of eternity in mind. Now, those of you that are keeping notes, there's the back of your program here this morning. Write them down fast, okay? No matter which way you choose to use your time, both of them are going to take your time. Whether you're going to trade up, whether you're going to put to work what God gives you, invest with an effort of returning more than what he was given, what you were given, it's going to take time. Or whether you dig down and bury, that's going to take some time too. One may take a little more time than the other. I'll admit that. But one is rewarded far more than the other as well. Amen? So can we, knowing that, can we choose what we do with our time with that kind of eternity in mind? I worked with a high school principal in Eastern Ohio, and I want to say Eastern Ohio because it wasn't any principal around here. I used to coach high school wrestling for him. And I worked with this high school principal who would already be out the door right now because he would have no use whatsoever for this sermon. This principal used to say, this was his life motto. This is the way he looked at life. Whenever the urge comes over me to get up and do something, I just sit still. It'll pass. Now, I'm serious. That was Steve's motto in life. And he graduated, you know, from school teaching to administration and to principal, and finally that's where he retired. I mean, imagine all the things that a principal would see that something needs to be done about something. Have you ever looked at something and said, somebody ought to do something about that? Whenever Steve would get all worked up, he says, urge comes over him, strong urge to get up and do something about something. Just sit still, it'll pass. And I know people for whom that could be their life motto, because their life goal seems to be to see how much work they can get out of. And I'm not pointing any fingers here, but some of you probably actually made that a goal as you go into some meeting or into some work project, that my goal is to get out of this meeting without. my goal is to get through this work project without doing much work. Sometimes people work harder to get out of work than it would have been just to get up and do the work that needed to be done. Amen? I've seen people that really work hard at trying to get out of work. And they congratulate themselves with how much work they've been able to get out of. That's servant number three in Jesus' parable. That's exactly his attitude. He gets up, he goes out, he digs down, and he buries the talent the Lord gave him. Whew, I'm glad to be done with that. And after that, we have no idea what this man did with all this time that the Lord additionally gave him. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he did something else he'd rather be doing. Maybe he sat around laughing at servant number one and servant number two, the way they were out working and sweating and fretting over the Lord's investment the Lord entrusted them with. I don't have any of those worries. I don't have any of those concerns. Whatever the third servant was doing, it wasn't much after he put his shovel up. After getting up and digging down and covering up, he was pretty much done. No matter how much time it took for the master to return. And that's why we have to say whether trading up like the first two servants did or digging down like the third servant did, both are going to take your time. One of them is going to take more time than the other, but one is rewarded far more than the other as well. Now let me give you some examples. This is why the earliest followers of Jesus were willing to leave everything to follow him. I mean, it's amazing when you read the Bible stories. It's almost like, what? This couldn't be. Who would do that? The Bible says, while Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who we know better as Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and they were both casting a net into the sea because they were both, what? Fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible says, I mean, you read this, you say, what? The very next words of the Bible is, immediately, they left their nets, and they followed him. Am I the only one that says, wait a minute. You're out doing your work, doing your job, your business, and Jesus interrupts and says, follow me, and immediately, they drop what they're doing, and they follow him. What? Who does that? How could they do that? How could you just leave it all behind? Now, they weren't the only ones, if you think that's the exception. The Bible goes on in the very next verse to say, and going on from there, Jesus saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And Jesus called them. A little different scenario, called dads in the boat. But the very next word is immediately they left the boat and their father and they followed him. I've often wondered what dad thought about all that. Jesus taking his sons away, leaving Zebedee in the boat holding the bag, or in this case, holding the fishing nets without his sons to help him. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, follow me immediately. And it's not just fishermen. After this, the Bible says, Jesus went out and he saw a tax collector named Levi, a wealthy trade. And he's sitting at his tax collector's booth. He's doing business. He's bringing in money. He'll be bringing home the bacon because of the money he's bringing in. And Jesus said to him, follow me. And the next verse in the Bible says, and leaving everything, he arose and followed him. How does anyone do this? Later, the Bible says Peter will say to Jesus, see, Lord, and there's our Greek word, iddo again, lo, behold, look, see, we've left our homes and followed you. And Jesus will say to all those first followers, truly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children. That tells you about some of the things they'd left. There's no one who's left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this life and in the age to come, eternal life. This is why we're being challenged this morning to choose what we do with our time with eternity in mind. It's going to make an eternal difference. Because yes, trading up or digging down, both of them take time. And yes, one of them probably is going to take more time than the other. But oh, how it will be rewarded at the end of time. And I know Warren Buffett is talking about earthly investments when he said this. Price is what you pay. Value is what you get. And you never want to confuse those two things. But I think this truth also applies to eternal investments as well. And those who choose their time with eternity in mind will find the value of what they get to be infinitely more than any price they had to pay. Amen. Choose how you will spend your time with eternity in mind. I don't know if you saw this, but moments after this painting was sold 2 weeks ago for $1.4 million, it was remotely shredded by its painter, who had secretly embedded a shredder the bottom rail of the frame of that painting. Painting sold for $1.1 million. Remotely, he turned the shredder on and shredded the painting. And he texted a message to all those in attendance that said, going, going, gone. I look at the expression of some of their faces. As people are looking, this sold for $1.4 million. You see the surprise. Oh my, what just happened? And the lady closest, she's on the phone. What is going on? Someone just paid $1.5 million and they've just watched it shredded before their very eyes. But I tell you, folks, this is what's going to happen to all. All this worldly stuff we spend our time accumulating. When Christ returns again, it's all going to be going, going, going forever. And then we're going to be called into account for what we spent our time on. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Who'd like to live whatever's left of your life for Christ? I pray you will choose what you do with your time with eternity in mind.